Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're positively out on the road doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Even if the Orioles are going to remain in last place, it's fine with me. We're going to eat crab cakes. I was at Acostas in Timonium for first pitch. Saw Rob Long there wearing the Bombers, looking like Tom Cruise. And they're playing in a minor league ballpark. And just Joe Poyle is going to come on from Tampa. I've been chasing Rick Vaughn around. He's busy feeding folks down in Tampa. Luke was monitoring the game. I am monitoring all things crab cakes. I have my pal, Jerry Schlichting from Clean Cuisine is going to be bringing me not just crab cakes, but his award-winning squash lasagna thing. That's one of my favorite things. And there's a rumor it might be on my 27 favorite things for our 27th anniversary. We'll be doing that in August, but I'm going to be out at the Y in Randallstown. Barry Williams is going to be with us. He ran Parks and Rec. Not the television show, the real Parks and Recs in Baltimore County. He was also a much like my Kemosabe, who is smarter than I and further educated than I, one time an educator. Barry Williams was a principal at Randallstown High and Rosedale and a bunch of places. So he'll be out with us. John Hoey from the Y will be with us. And Julian Jones, who's running for Baltimore County Executive, who is the councilman out on the west side of town, will be joining us as well at the Y. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, brought to you by Curio Wellness, as well as our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. Making my plumbing good, keeping my water clean, well water, all the good stuff that we do around here. You're going to hear fresh ads this week because it's summertime. It's going to be 100 degrees next week when the Orioles get home to face the Texas Rangers. They might be more equipped to handle 100 degrees. Luke, I don't, you and I gave them flowers and blue kisses after the sweep over the weekend. And it's like last week they won that game 10-1 in the middle game. And the body of work adds up when, like, they start to get their hitters back. They get a little bit of prosperity. They get their ace. I'll call Zach Eflin that for, I don't think he is an ace, but he's their ace on the hill. And they sort of, kick it around. And I don't like I don't bad start for Eflin. Just bad. Just uninspired, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about it other than Zach Eflin was really bad and also unlucky on some of the batted balls, but got hit hard for the most part. I mean, you look at it, the hits, the base runners, the lack of swing and miss, and Ryan Pepiot was really good and is a good pitcher. So it's really as simple as that. And looking at it, it's probably as uncompetitive as the Orioles have looked since that blowout in the Fenway series, which midway through that series is when they began this stretch of winning 14 of 20 and getting us to start talking about this team in more positive terms. So,
This is a better baseball team too, Tampa.
I mean, Tampa Bay's playing really well. I said that to you as we were kind of previewing this series. I mean, they had just swept the Mets and they swept the Mets convincingly too. You look at Tampa Bay over the last 5 weeks or so, I mean, can make a strong argument they've been the best team in baseball over that stretch. So
Well, the
everyone.
cream's rising in the division now, right? Like we're not paying attention because we're, trying to claw back to 500 or what. I mean, it's crazy, but like the Yankees and Rays are good teams. We talk about the Red Sox making their move and cutting their losses. We did a long segment on that, and we're going to do a lot of baseball this week because I don't know how long the flame's going to burn. And you're at a mini camp this week before it gets too hot. John figured that out to not do mini camp on the 100-degree days. But these are two good baseball teams they're going to see this week. Really, these are playoff caliber, playoff tested kind of teams. To our point, despite our optimism on Monday morning after the sweep of the Angels, they went 5-2 or like 6-1. They did something special this week. It would be against elite teams. And I don't know, elite, but this is as elite as it gets in baseball these days.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to call Tampa Bay elite, but like I said, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, they have been. So, I mean, this was a team that at one point looked like they were the fourth best team in the division. And now, as we preview the second game of this series, I mean, they're the top wild card at the moment. And to that point, it also speaks to the rest of the American League that Toronto and Boston occupy the second and third wild card spots as we look at Tuesday and just what the middle class of the American League is. It's uninspiring. That's why we've said if the Orioles can keep this going and have a good productive week down in Tampa and then going to the Bronx, then We'll start talking about this in a little more serious terms, at least in terms of getting back in the wild card race. But what we saw Monday was very uninspiring. And like I said, I mean, Zach Eflin was bad. He'd be the first to tell you that. Didn't have a feel for much of anything. And Pepiot had the, mainly relied on fastball changeup combination. Just the combination of those two. And when you're commanding that, you're throwing well, and you can change speeds, and you know where it's going, it makes it really tough. So the Orioles were outclassed Monday night. There's no question about that. And now you have to turn the page and hope that, you can get up off the mat here. It's one game. I'm not trying to bury them after they've played well for the last 3 weeks, but it also speaks to if they have a bad week. We talked about the possibility of, can you go 5-2 or something like that? Well, there's also the opposite, right? If you have a bad week and Tampa Bay is just better than you, and the Yankees are better than you, and they both win series, or heaven forbid, they sweep or something like that, and you go 1-6, well, then we're back to saying, well, it's over, right? Right. So, but we're going to see how it plays out. But it was very simple when
Four
one.
hits and an accidental Rutschman home run. He thought it was a pop
Well, what was funny, I actually looked at,
up.
I looked at the Statcast data, and initially it said that was the only ballpark that would be a home run, and then they updated it to say 20 of 30, and I think it just had to do with the it carried, the wind kind of took it. It had a launch angle of 49 degrees, and I know you're not a Statcast person, but
Well, I know Kevin Brown lost his mind.
that's
I
an
know that.
incredible, like, you can go and look, and I even found a YouTube video that had like the highest launch angle home runs in the Statcast
Is that
era.
Yogi
And
Berra?
I think the
No.
no. It only goes back to, I think, 2015. And I think the highest one was 50 degrees. So this was 49 degrees. So, I mean, he hit the ball a mile in the air and got up, caught up in the air and went out. So good for Adley Rutschman. We've talked about the fact that there has been some tough luck at times for him as well. So good for him. But when that's your only offense, and to your point, you only manage four hits. I mean, the Rays had more than that in some innings, it felt like. I mean, just traffic all over the bases. I mean, Zach Eflin just wasn't good. I mean, you give up 12 hits and two walks in five innings. Yeah, you're probably going to be blown out unless your offense is just terrific. And the Orioles couldn't do anything against Pepiot. And like I said, he's good. I mean, he's got a 3-1 ERA for the season. So it's not as though they went out there and did that against a scrub pitcher. He's a really good pitcher, but again, like I said, you have to go back to that embarrassing game at Fenway back in mid-May, I guess it was late May at that point, when they lost 19-5. They haven't been as uncompetitive as they were, since then, over this stretch. I mean, they've lost games, but not like that. I mean, that felt pretty quickly, and that was even with turning a couple double plays and the bad call at first base that benefited the Orioles. I mean, it could have been even worse than it was. And when it's 7-1, that shows just how little of a game it actually was.
What do you make of the minor league ballpark? I mean, look,
It's a different circumstance there with the roof
right, blowing off. I get it.
and that's where I want to have a little more grace, because the alternative is what? To completely move the Rays out of the market entirely. And I get it. Tampa's not the same as St. Pete, and anyone who lives down there would tell you it might as well be a different market because it's that
But tickets were
difficult to get to it.
$15 and there's 10,000 seats and you're 5 feet from major league
Yeah.
players. And
But there
if you
were.
have any baseball Jones at all and you want to go see good young
Yeah.
players, Gunnar Henderson's in town, Rutschman's in town. It's baseball where you're not in a tent. So if you've been watching it in a tent for all these years, hey, deal with 89 and
Yeah.
sticky. Because
Yeah.
that's
I
what,
mean,
they're going to play in that here next Tuesday and Wednesday. It's going to be hot as hell here.
right. And I think what's fascinating about this, and this is actually what's interesting for the Rays, speaking in the context of them being a contender, what they in July and August, from what I understand, they're only going to play nine home games in each of those months because they front loaded their schedule, but because April and May in Tampa is much more pleasant than July and August. So I think that's going to be really interesting just to see how they handle that. Yeah, it's hot for both teams. I mean, it's Florida in June. It's
You
going to
know
be
what it's going to
miserable.
indicate? They're either going to save that franchise or not. And that's why I'm talking to Vaughn and Poily. And
Yeah.
I'm chasing my buddy Pete Williams, who lives down there, who's a baseball head. And I've been going down there longer than the team was there. I
Yeah.
went into that dome with Mike Messina The late great Todd Froworth, Mark Williamson. I think Ben McDonald might have been banging around with us at that point too for a basketball game. I saw
Yeah.
Duke and Kentucky play there, and there was no thought there was going to be a baseball team
Oh,
there,
no.
right? Like the Giants were going to move there, the White Sox were going to move there back in the day. It never happened. It's unbelievable how, if you bitched about it being basically in Annapolis and you live in Hereford, which is pretty much what the stadium being in St. Pete outside of Tampa is, it's an hour. It's the Capital Center if you lived in
Yeah.
Towson, I guess,
Especially with
right?
the
Or
traffic, right? I mean, yeah.
and there's bridges and like all of that, right? It's also lovely. It's Tampa, it's Florida, it's beautiful. Well, parts of it are. But I've been going there since they trained at Al Lang Stadium in downtown St. Pete, 12 blocks away from the dome, when the place was nobody wanted to be there. It was like, fly infested, and like, just nobody lived in St. Pete. It just was
Yeah.
nothing. And it's such a burgeoning area. They have a lot of retirees, a lot of old white people, a lot of baseball heads, a lot of Yankee fans, like all of that, but Canadians as well before Goofball took over the country, goofing off in Canada this week. Jeez. But I've been down there a million times, and kids play baseball. The whole Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Wade Boggs, Fred McGriff, go down the list of who's from Tampa and who played ball there, and that it's a 13-month a year baseball place where they don't have lacrosse sticks like they do here in Ruxton. And I just, it blows me away. And they've won, and they've had Joe Maddon, and they've had good players, and they've had a system, like it or hate it, that's allowed them to be competitive. And like, my dude Rick Vaughn, would come on and just say, this is how hard it is to sell baseball. And the hockey team's gone down there. And Luke, I know you've been there for 5 minutes. We've driven around, was in the middle of hockey season. You and I were there, actually. It was in March. The hockey team owns Tampa. The Lightning own Tampa. And the Buccaneers rent Tampa, and they can't give baseball away. And they're playing outside finally. On the Dale Mabry. I mean, there's parking for the football stadium where, Ray Lewis, Glory, David, Art, the whole thing. We had a good time that night. And nobody wants to go. And they're a good team. They're a really good team. Tickets were $15 last night. I was sitting at the bar with mixologist John, old schooler, up at Costas and Timonium. Brand new location. I had a little salmon, St. Michael's, delicious. Bowl of crab soup. Just as good as Dundalk. Don't tell. I don't want to admit that Timonium is just as good as Dundalk, but it is. And I watched the game, and I went on to my app. How much would it cost to go to the game? $15. And this was part of the scam in Sacramento, the rental that they have going on out there that we talked about 2 weeks ago. What are they doing? And then this disaster that we have. This dumpster fire that we have in this town right now with this franchise, not to mention whatever the Nationals are going to be when they grow up. I mean, it really is a premiership and everybody else. And from a fan base, and I know you and I got into it talking about Devers getting dealt off. Dude, anybody that wants to take that money off my hands before we're going into a work stoppage, take it. Take it. Take the farm, man. Because, like, if you can't win, and I know that's not what fans want to hear at all. At all. But that's the reality of it. And the reality of it is they're down in Tampa. They've moved it across the bridge. They've got a really good team. They have tradition they never had when that idiot and the Molly owned the team, and they're changing logos every 5 minutes and playing in a blimp that nobody wanted to go to ever, not whether the team was good or bad. Luke, I pulled up there for Game 7 of the American League Championship Series between the Red Sox and the Rays. There were not only just 10,000 empty seats upstairs, I paid $10 to get in for an American League Championship. This is 20 years ago. It's 2000 and whatever, 6, 7, 8, whatever year that was, 8, 9, whatever that was. 7, 16 years ago. So I just, it blows me away to watch this. And the Rutschman home run being played in the minor league ballpark, guys throw faster, harder, the balls go higher, and there's no second deck. And there's a gale wind and a seagull blows by, and it's a 380 home run. It's almost like playing at LA Memorial Coliseum. We're just move the fence in, put a net up, play house rules, bouncing off anything. I don't know, man. I'm trying to sell it in regard to Major League Baseball and all of that, and they keep tripping over stuff like this. And I look at it and say, all right, they had to do this, and I can make all the excuses. But
It
how can
was a
people not
hurricane
be
that blew
there?
off the roof.
Yeah, how can people not be there though?
I don't
They
know.
just don't. They just don't care. And
But
so
this.
when you're saying, play the games in Nashville, play the game, move the team. I don't think anybody get up and notice it's gone, and it'd be like moving the Atlanta Flames or something. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
the Phoenix Coyotes, nobody notices.
Yeah. But at the same time, okay, Nashville doesn't have a major league stadium that's just sitting there empty for them to use. You're going to have a minor league ballpark, spring training kind of facility wherever you go, basically. So I don't know. I believe me, I think the A's situation in Sacramento is embarrassing and shameful because that's premeditated. That's something that's years in the making. This is where everything you said, I'm not going to sit here and argue with it. We've been talking about the appetite or lack thereof in St. Pete for the Rays. And, 2 years ago, it looked like they might have a ballpark deal for 5 minutes. Not really. And obviously, that's blown up in the aftermath of this hurricane in the fall that probably wouldn't have worked out anyway, right? Even if that didn't happen, we'd still be talking about the future of the Rays. But, I don't know. I don't know what. When you have a hurricane blow the roof off of your stadium, your dome.
I'm just talking about supporting the team.
No,
I'm just
no,
talking
and I
about like
understand,
they did move
but
the
it's
team to
nothing
Tampa
new.
now. Tickets are $10. They are playing outside. They are on the freeway. It is easy to get there. They get the games at 7:30, I guess, to cool down, right? Just to let the air.
Yeah, it's
They,
hot. But at the same time, you also, for anyone who is invested in Rays baseball, they also know that the team's probably not there for long, right? It's so they're.
Okay. You think it's just
Maybe.
okay.
I don't know. I'm spitballing here. I don't intimately know the Tampa area in terms of how people think. And but there's also,
I mean,
how
the
many?
A's were gone for me. The A's have been gone for
Sure,
15
sure.
years, right?
Well, I just it feels like the Rays, it feels inevitable that whether it's going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, and they drag it out to the degree that the A's did in Oakland, that they're going to be somewhere else. Because it doesn't seem like they can get a stadium built there. It doesn't seem like the people want that, and I understand that if people don't want public money. I understand that in any place at this point in
And
time,
by the way, when
but.
we're giving these creeps $600 million here, these billionaires that throw me out of the press box, you into left field, don't want to answer questions, don't come forward, don't do any of that. And in these other places, they can't piss a drop. Nobody, and Craig Thompson running from me, from the stadium authority, nobody answers any questions about any of this. And in other places, it would they. They're playing in a minor league stadium down in Tampa because they don't have anything else and they're not getting anything else. And nobody wants to give them any money for something that's failed for 30 years. Like it's just failed. It's been terrible for 30 years. Everybody's witnessed it. We're like, we're not paying for that. And in California, forget it, right? That's the whole, except when Moneybags comes in and buys Hollywood Park and just builds a NFL. A lair. I don't know. It's like the Dr. Evil lair if you fly over a SoFi Stadium out in LA. But that was financed with funny money, not our money, not the citizens' money. Not even $6 a gallon of gas in California in any way, or lottery money here, or the things that financed these two stadiums that I stood behind 30 years ago. I stood behind all of that. But I also see the other side of it when the Orioles go and play in minor league ballparks in these other places, and the sport doesn't have its shit together. I mean, it just doesn't. I don't know what else to say. Like, when about television, about streaming, about their app, about their fan base, about the media, about just all of it. It just smacks of, we think we have it bad here, and this is really mismanaged. This is the Baltimore Orioles have been, I mean, I can't think of anything that's been more mismanaged in front of our eyes over the last 30 years, on the field, off the field, in the community. Mike Flanagan, just down the line of everything awful, mistreating Brooks, just all of it has been horrible. Mistreating Jim Palmer right now. Ask around. You'll find out. I mistreating the fans in a general sense, not really caring so much about the fans here. That's the trauma that I talked to David Rubenstein about. That is the trauma. That's why the stadium's empty, because it's been poorly run, poorly managed, poorly branded, poorly everything. It really has been. And that's the problem here. Now, I don't know, like Tampa's had its own issues. Oakland has their issues. Lord knows Colorado's going to have their issues. Pittsburgh is a Is show. I mean, down the line, for every problem they have and every shining, we bought the Braves and we've got a city and we've got a battery and we're going to make money and we're going to have the All-Star game and like all of that. It's just, I see them. I just don't see this as strong. I see this as a little bit like the country, strong and evil. Yankees, Dodgers, if you've got the money, strong and faking it. The Cubs in the places like that where they had the money, but like don't spend as much of it. Red Sox now, not so much as you went on about with the Devers deal this week. And then the fact that they're going to go to war in 18 months or 15 months, right?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I hear everything you're saying, but the genesis of all this was a hurricane blowing the roof off the stadium. I mean, I hear you.
But it's
We
going to
can
move the franchise, right? Finally.
maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I
They're a
just don't know.
good team. They should be supported. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I hear you. It was a full ballpark last night. I mean, I'm looking right now if I wanted to buy three tickets. For some, the couple sections where it's open, the three tickets cost a total of $234. Now,
I ain't doing that.
fair enough, but I'm just saying. I mean, looking at the secondary market 2 minutes before first pitch, I think you're going to find any baseball game that's one of 81 in any select market is going to be cheap right at first pitch. I don't know. I
That's
mean.
why I buy them then.
Sure, but I'm just saying, I don't know what the alternative was for the Rays here, other than, oh, they should have already had a new stadium that could have had its roof blown off by a hurricane. I don't know. I
If
mean,
you're trying to save the franchise and your baseball and you're the city and you're getting behind it, this would be the time to do that. When they're playing in a small ballpark, they got a good team.
then
It's
I guess
easier to
people just
get
don't
to.
want
It
it
makes the
there then.
case
I
to
don't
build it in
know.
Tampa. It really does.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, then I guess maybe they should move because people don't want to watch baseball there, I guess. I don't know. Like at some point in time, fans do have to show up if they want it or not, right? I
A
mean,
hundred
and
percent.
I say that with, as you said, I'm more pro player than pro owner, and I'm fine with saying that. I'm not all pro player, or I'm not all player unconditionally, but
I'm
at the
left of Bernie Sanders on political issues, and people know that about me, so that's okay. I mean, at least I know where I'm coming from, and I respect where you're coming from.
No,
I'm
and like
not
I
being
said, I'm
critical
not,
of it.
but at the same time, like you can bang on ownership all you want, you can bang on prices all you want, and location and all these different things. At the same time, they have been a pretty darn good product for the better part of the last 20 years. Now, would you like to see them spend money? Sure, but the Trop's empty for 70 out of their 81 games, right?
Well,
They
there goes your
do.
trip, your chicken and egg, right? What you spend the money, we'll come. Now, well, we're winning. Well, now,
Sure.
nah, but win more, and
Oh,
then we'll
and
spend, right? Or
there's got to be some, there's nuance to it, right? I mean, there's nuance. And look, I would also say the Rays have operated in a way at times where it certainly doesn't help them when you have a roster churn that, other than Evan Longoria and the shortstop that they signed, who's now going to jail because he was a pedophile, sexual predator, they haven't really built a culture that allows fans to invest, right, in any individual players, right? And that's helped them stay competitive, but it also makes it more difficult to grow your brand because you're truly just rooting for the Rays brand other than really getting attached to players. And we've talked about that whole discussion and that challenge, right? And there's
Well, that's why the
nuance.
Orioles can't build off of Adam Jones or Cal Ripken anymore. You know, like it's
I
the
mean, it's
players
tough.
they have.
I mean, it's tough. Most markets kind of have that issue. I mean, like, you can, but it can't be all you build on,
Well, the
right?
Phillies aren't eating off Chase Utley right now and Ryan Howard, right? I mean, they're just not.
Well, but Bryce Harper signed a 13-year deal, right? Or
But
whatever
they
it
have a real
was.
player,
Sure.
right?
Of
I'm
course.
just saying they're not
Well,
living off their history. The
and look.
Royals can't live off of George Brett and Willie Wilson or the second generation of Moustakas and, you know, Hosmer and
And
those
more.
guys, you know?
And I would also say that there are very few actual individual players that truly move the needle from an attendance standpoint. I would say there might only be two, Shohei Ohtani and maybe Aaron Judge, right? I mean, that's, I think the Jays saying that they needed to sign Vlad Guerrero for attendance, if the Jays are no one's going to watch Vlad Guerrero. Like, no one's going multiple times a year just to see Vlad Guerrero Jr. play. Ohtani's a feature. I mean, he pitched on Monday night. As soon as the Orioles game was over, I flipped over to that and I watched Ohtani pitch for the first time since what, August of 23.
You've got Fernando Mania all these years later,
I
don't
mean,
you?
it's
It's astonishing. It really is.
it really is. It's why I push back on anyone that's not a Dodgers fan that's just more concerned about, like, his well-being as a hitter, as a productive hitter, which I'll hear that to a point, but this is ultimately an entertainment business, and someone who starts games and then leads off the bottom half of the first inning after he started the first inning, even though he only pitched one inning and he was rusty. I mean, he's missing a lot arm side. His velo looked good, the stuff looked good, but I just look at that and I'm like, this is why we watch sports, to see something incredible. And I will continue to say, look, I've said this to you. We've had this conversation many times. I've never seen a no-hitter in person. But as it pertains to baseball, I've seen some cool things. I saw Josh Hamilton hit four home runs against the Orioles, which, you talk about rare feats. I mean, that's even more so than a no-hitter. That's right there in the realm of a perfect game. But I saw that, and I saw Shohei Ohtani start a game and hit a home run in the same game that he was the starting pitcher. That's pretty cool, right? I mean, and I get it. There have been some Bartolo Colons
Man,
and
you and I would have to, you know, when they go on strike a year and a half from now and we're feeling like not pooping on them, we'll just do the greatest things we've ever seen in baseball
yeah.
because I'd have to
Well,
think
and
about that.
I just, I mean, that's, but what Ohtani does, that transcends baseball. That's an incredible feat in any sport, right? I mean, when you think about the degree of difficulty, I mean, so much has been made about Travis Hunter coming into the NFL and being a wide receiver and a corner for the Jags, right?
Well,
And
Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, we've seen some stuff. Jim Abbott for me, you know, like.
I mean, Bo Jackson or Deion, I mean, playing multiple sports is crazy, right? I mean, that's absurd. But I would even say, when you talk about Travis Hunter, and we're going to see him play wide receiver and corner, however many snaps it ends up being, they're going to have to manage that. But that's so impressive in and of itself. But then you're talking about hitting and pitching, and you think about how few individuals, I mean, Babe Ruth did that for 2.5 years, roughly. He was an everyday position player and a pitcher. And even that, you kind of have to, like, look at parts of seasons for the Red Sox getting into 16, 1916, 1917, 1918. He wasn't a two-way player for a very long time, for a long time. They discovered what kind of hitter he was, and the Red Sox sold him off to the Yankees, and the Yankees said, "You're an outfielder now," right? I mean, it's basically the thumbnail version of it. So even with the injuries, and look, I'm guessing we're getting to some point in time here in the not too distant future where Ohtani's not going to do this anymore. And obviously, he's already had two major arm injuries, and it'll get to a point where the Dodgers and him they'll both say, "No, it's time," right? I mean, but
This is cute, but this is not productive.
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't even say, like, it's cute. He's been a lit When he's been healthy, he's been really good. I mean, go look at his numbers.
Oh, I
You know,
know, I know,
yeah.
I know.
So,
It's
so, so my,
insane.
so my, I just, it's something that I take such enjoyment watching, because it's just, he's an alien, right? I mean, he's a unicorn. I mean,
It's Andre the Giant.
it's amazing. I mean, it's an attraction. And again, I don't know how long it's going to work. I don't know if he'll continue to start. Does he transition maybe to like a bullpen role like he did in the WBC a few
Well,
years ago?
here's your
But
clue
that's
here. I
awesome.
was talking to mixologist John at Acostas just about tickets and just about the game. All same argument I'm having with you right now, sort of for the better or worse. And he's like, they'll sell out the bobblehead night. By the way, the new Cal Ripken commercial, thumbs down on that one too. But I'll get into
I
that.
do like the bobblehead.
Oh, well, it's a Marvel thing. That's
The
your
Iron Man, yeah.
jam.
Yeah, I mean more it's a superhero
Well,
that's
but
Iron
they're going
Man,
to
yeah.
sell out the stadium. They're going to
Sure.
be lining up the day before to sell the
And
bobbleheads online. 20,000 people won't get them and be, so there's all of that, like the way they run it. And then there's the when else are they going to sell out? And he's like, well, the Dodgers will sell out. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, the Dodgers, we were doing a show at Fadley's on that Friday when the Dodgers are in town. It's football, first week of football, the whole deal, right? And I'm thinking if the night Ohtani pitches is the night I want to go, right? Right? I
yeah.
mean,
I mean, like I said.
so to your point, it isn't a trade. It's beyond a trade. That's the night I'll give him $40 to go down there instead of 10 when he's not pitching and go see something. Go see something I can. I would always say tell my grandchildren about. My grandchildren aren't going to care about Shohei Ohtani, but my kid doesn't care about Shohei Ohtani. But
Well,
anyway,
who
it's
cares about
something.
baseball, though?
But
I mean, yeah.
yeah, I mean, see something that would matter to me. Would
No
matter to me.
question.
And I've had two chances to see Ohtani. I mean, real chances to see him where I thought I'm going to go do that. And I refrained. One was at Yankee Stadium. And I really, when he was with the Angels, I was in New York that night. It was a chance to do it. It was only $10 to do it. It was really hot. He got shelled.
Yeah.
He didn't pitch very well. But you've done something I haven't done. I haven't seen Ohtani pitch. I'd like to do that. I think that's a. One of the few things I have left to do too. So you're egging me on is what you're doing right now.
Yeah, well, and for me it's also a night that he pitches and he's in the starting lineup as well, right? I mean, earlier in his career there was a time where he would pitch and wouldn't necessarily hit that night. But for him at this point, like Monday night, he started. Pitched the first inning. Pitch count got up there. I mean, he was only going to pitch two innings at most anyway, but the pitch count was high to the point where that was going to be it. You know, he threw 26 pitches in the first inning, whatever it was. And then, he comes back to the dugout and I don't think he even went into the dugout. I think they brought him his batting gloves, his elbow protector for, his front arm, and he's on deck as the leadoff hitter. I mean, it's just, again, it's something that. It's Little League, right? I mean, that's something you expect to see in Little League where, oh, the starting pitcher is also the leadoff hitter or the cleanup hitter, right? Because he's the best player on the team. He plays shortstop when he's not pitching, right? I mean, that's what this is, only he's doing it at the absolute highest level. And that's why I said, I mean,
The gambling thing around him is also fascinating, by the
Oh,
way.
sure. I mean, he's just fascinating in general. I mean, how about the fact? I'd be remiss because I saw this headline on ESPN.com. His former interpreter also reported to federal prison on Monday, right after that whole thing. So just kind of crazy to think of the timing of that. But Ohtani's just, I mean, it's what he's done, and like I said, the only other guy that really fits that description. And I'm not talking about a hardcore baseball fan like me. I'm talking about this more in like that my brother-in-law would say to my sister, "Hey, Shohei Ohtani starting in Philly, and we're already going to be out there visiting my dad. Let's go watch him pitch. He's pitching. It's Ohtani, and I do think Aaron Judge, being what he's been offensively and looking at what his numbers have been, really the last few years. I mean, he's just been, kind of doing some historic things, but." Going back to my point that I was making, when I started this, there aren't that many players that move the needle in that way that there people are going to just repeatedly come watch you individually play without your team being competitive, without the team being in contention, without unless there's a bobblehead that night, to
Well,
your
unless the
point,
fan
right?
base loves baseball too and just wants to
Sure.
go to the game. It's a Sunday and their family's in town and they're going to the game,
Yeah,
or it's Father's Day or it's bobblehead. Whatever the occasion would make you, or Ohtani's pitching or whatever, but just This is a time for them to save that franchise. We've been going down. We used to go down there three
Yeah.
times a year, right? And playing that blimp. I've been down there. My wife threw out the first pitch down there. I mean, I like that stadium. I didn't think it was awful. I like the air conditioning. I don't hate it. I mean, I
Yeah.
really don't. It was not my least favorite stadium or anything like that, especially now that the roof blew off and they're going to play in this minor league Steinbrenner thing next to the football stadium. But just the sport itself, you're there 3 decades in this place with weather, Latin people, people that play baseball, old white people that like baseball. You got all of these things going on, and hockey beat you. I mean, and I'm going to get into Katie Griggs and Moneybags and the Whistler and all of them for whatever this is. That bananas are coming here in a month and a half, and people are willing to pay $200 to go see the bananas and sit in the outfield, and they don't want to come down and see real baseball. Like, hey man, you could say, well, that's a novelty, and that's the Harlem
It
Globetrotters, and
is.
that's cool and all of that. But it's really telling that that could be so popular, and
I don't know.
they got teams in this sport that
I
can't
think that's a
sell
reach.
Gunnar Henderson the way they should.
I think it's comparing two different entities. I mean, the Savannah Bananas are, and to their credit, they market themselves well. They've got a niche. They found out that, hey, there's an appetite for a Harlem Globetrotters version of baseball, right? I mean, that's what they do. I don't know
Are
what
you
that.
ever, have you ever watched it? It's so
Watch it. I've
weird to
never watched
me.
it in person. I've seen it on TV. I've seen clips on TV and everything. I'm not anti that.
Are you interested in, I mean, as a media member, as a fan, as a baseball guy, as Luke?
I mean, I'm not like, if someone had like free tickets for me, sure I'd go, but I'm not spending $200 on that. I mean, I'm just not.
But it is fascinating that people find that much value in it. And don't find and only find value in the bobbleheads and what, like, I'm just
Maybe. I mean,
trying to
I don't
get
know.
to.
I would be curious to see if anyone, was at the gates and could say, how many Orioles games have you gone to this year? I'd be curious to see what the correlation would be there in terms of people that are going to that and how many Orioles games they went to, or how many Bay Sox games they went to, or if they're coming from the Eastern Shore, Shorebirds. Like, I'd be curious about that, but
Dude, I
I
was
don't
in
know.
Philly a year and a half ago, maybe 2 summers ago, at a concert. I don't even remember what concert it was. I was maybe it was ELO, Jeff Lynne, maybe. I don't even nah, but what? But it was I was there, and I was in the parking lot at the hockey rink, which I'm sure you're familiar with on Broad Street. And there are people going by, and they were all bananaed up, and but these were Phillies fans. You know what I mean? They were Phillies fans that love, that were. I'm assuming all the bananas fans are coming from the Orioles, and I guess Nationals, and I guess Phillies, and I guess where you live, wherever, whatever it would be, that it's such a regional thing. I'm just blown away that people see it as an Adele ticket. You know what I mean? They see it as like a really premium, expensive thing to do, that they're that entertained. I'm blown away by that. They would never spend $200 on an Oriole ticket. They would bitch about doing that for a World Series ticket, but they're into the bananas. And I'm seeing it on my timeline and stuff, that there's this craze for it. And I'm thinking, that's what you need for your baseball team. You need people to really want to come to your baseball games. And that's the that it just It makes mush of my mind. That's all I'm saying, Luke.
Well, but you're talking about two dates a year. I mean, if the Savannah Bananas suddenly said we're going to have home games, we're going to play 81 home games in Savannah or whatever city you'd pick, the novelty wears off. I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's a little bit of a reach that it's some indictment on the sport when it's an attraction.
I don't think it's an indictment. I think it people. People wanted this. I don't understand it at all, but what I really don't understand is the premium value for it. And that's Professor Nestor talking to Marty Conway and other people that set the
Yeah.
value on all this, that try to create something out of baseball that could make millions of dollars and have people line up and pay more for that than they're willing to pay to see Babe Ruth. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I don't, I just don't find that part of it to be that deep. I mean, I think there are plenty of issues the sport has. I think the Savannah Bananas, to your point, it's like going to see Springsteen, right? I mean,
It's like not baseball.
Well, it's no different than Disney on Ice, right? I mean, you and I have no. I would never ask you, hey, Nestor, want to go see Disney on Ice at the arena? Because we're not the demographic that they're looking for here. Savannah Bananas, it's silliness and family entertainment and kids and look, baseball can certainly take some cues from that. And
Oh,
look,
right.
I mean, it's minor league, and look, minor league baseball has a bunch of that, and you see much more of that at the major league level now. I mean, Orioles games in between innings, it used to be just music played, right? I mean, that's what it was 30 years ago. Now they have an in-game DJ and in-game host, and they do contests and different things like that. So, I mean, baseball certainly can take cues and look at things and adopt ideas, but I mean, it's very much a novelty, and good for them. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, and also I'll give them credit. They go to big cities, but they also go to some places where they're kind of off the beaten path, right? I mean, I'm looking at their schedule right now. They're going to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas, right? I mean, like, that's, you don't think of that like in the same way as you think Baltimore or Philadelphia, right? I mean, so, good for them. I mean, it's definitely
I
a
love the
unique
Harlem
experience.
Globetrotters. I mean, when I was a kid, like all of that, I mean, I, equated that to being the same as seeing Wes Unseld play for me. I was excited. And, it was also sold by Howard Cosell. It was sold on Wide World of Sports on Saturday afternoon. It only came once a year. It's the circus
And
and
that's the
all of
thing. I
that.
mean, exclusivity is and scarcity principle is such a, I mean, that's why I continue to say the NFL, it's one of the big reasons why the NFL laps the field, right? They play once a week. I mean, they do. If we suddenly came up with some kind of technology where you could play football six times a week, like your team, I mean, like, and everyone played six times a week, like Major League Baseball, the popularity would wane after a while because it would be so much and it's always there that none of the games are special anymore, right? I mean, that's always where the NFL has had that going for it. They've taken full advantage, right? And look, say what you want about any of them from ethical standpoints or things that they do or how they run their business or off-field situations like Justin Tucker or Deshaun Watson or whatever, but
By the way,
they
wait, I'm
understand.
waiting on that investigation. I just want to point
Sure,
that out. I just want to
but they
point that out.
also, but you know, they also, the once a week thing is, it's beneficial because you have everyone looking forward to it all week. Whereas, the Orioles got blown out Monday night, and as the time someone's listening to our conversation, they might already be starting game two of the series, right? I mean, that's how quickly it goes. So, the all these things are different, and everyone's just trying to find their space to make whatever they're selling as successful as possible. And hey, credit the Savannah Bananas. They've done a heck of a job with that product.
The Orioles are in last place. They had their ace beaten around in a minor league ballpark on a hot night in Tampa, on a hot summer night. A little Meatloaf reference there for you. Luke Jones is here. He will be spending some hot summer days in Wildwood. By the way, I had a great conversation with Leonard Raskin about Wildwood and about Stone Harbor. He spent the weekend there. We talked about the ferry. It made me look up the ferry that, like, you mean I could go from Rehoboth to, like, Wildwood on a boat? And I'm like, yeah, put your car on it, right?
I've never done it, but I have had friends who were staying in Ocean City, like with their family for the week or whatever. And then I would say, hey, come stay, you can stay at my family's condo for a day or two, the condo we rented out, and you can stay for a day or two. And I actually had a couple friends over the years do the ferry, with their car and everything. I mean, it's pretty cool. I've never done it though, but yeah, you can do
I
that.
told Leonard maybe go back the other way down 95. You could beat the toll, or maybe you'd have to pay the toll twice. I'm not sure. But if you went across the Bay Bridge, let's say to Rehoboth and then Lewis and then up, and but I don't know. But you're a Wildwood guy. I mean, are you getting senioritis yet? I mean, it's middle of June. Team's in last place.
I always, and it has nothing to do with if the Orioles could be in first place, and I look forward to my vacation, and especially now as mandatory mini camp is this week, so football goes away as much as it will for the next 5 weeks, as much as it will for the rest of the year, calendar year. And I know once I get back, it's about go time for training camp, and doing the Orioles as much as I can as well then. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it,
Creature of
man.
habit, Luke Jones
Yeah.
is. I'm a creature of habit too. I'm eating crab cakes. I'm going to be at the Y in Randallstown this week on Tuesday. I hope you listen to the conversation. Have a great conversation with John Hoey. Barry Williams is going to join us as well. My dude Jerry Schlichting from Clean Cuisine is going to be coming over. I will have scratch offs in the Maryland Lottery, Back to the Future scratch offs for those of the age. We're also going to be at Reader's Crab House on the 26th. We're going to be at Costas at the new racetrack in Timonium, new location for Costas in early July. We're also going to be out at 1623 in Eldersburg later on in the month. And I'm stacking up these. We're doing it at Zeke's Coffee with Rasig and the Friday morning Zeke's Coffee Mafia over there in Lauraville next month. And I'm also, I know I have another one. I've been putting these things together so fast and furiously on behalf of our friends at Curio Wellness. Oh, we're going to be at Di Pasquale's in Canton. How could I forget that? I'm still working on that date in July as well. So it's going to be great. My thanks to Liberty Pure Solutions. Doug Workman joined us last week talking about the oil spill in the harbor and your drinking water and all that stuff. I also talked to Katie Pumphrey, who swims in the Inner Harbor a lot, and she's an open water swimmer. And actually, like, my wife and I were in the car and the interview was running and my wife started listening to it. She's like, "This is interesting." And I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of thought so too." So that was part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We had a long form chat with Katie Pumphrey. If you wonder, like, what she finds when she's swimming in the water, it's like crazy. So go check that out. It's been a great week around here. It's summertime. We're about to heat up. I still have my long johns on. I swear I'm taking it all off and getting ready for the beach. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Last place baseball makes a dull boy out of Nestor.